Welcome to Life After Business, the podcast that helps you understand how to increase the value of your business, what your company is worth, and what your exit options are. Host Ryan Tansom and his guests give you all the information you need to get clarity and control over your business and take pride in a valuable company that gives you freedom and choices to exit on your terms.
Welcome back to the Life After Business podcast. This is episode 172. Thanks for tuning in. If you've been listening for the last handful of episodes and for the last few months, you've been hearing a common theme about tying everything we're doing into why you became an entrepreneur. It's principle number one. We have to identify what your drivers are that make you happy. Is it completely disrupting industry? Is it realizing the vision that you had for your business, your products, or services? Is it maintaining community, family harmony? Really understanding what you want from your business and why, and being aware of it, is the first part and key to you engineering what you want. Because I do believe that us as entrepreneurs, we have the ability, using our companies and the cash flow and our impact, to go get what we want. One of the biggest challenges is, how do you figure that out? What is the process that you go through in order to identify what good and what success and happiness looks like? That's why I'm super excited to have Chris Yonker on the show today. He is a world-leading expert in vision creation. And you might say, okay, well, what's that? He likes to call himself a transition alchemist, where he helps people through his experience of decades of helping people break through sales goals and break through strategy goals in their companies. And he really boils it down into helping them in four different aspects of their life: physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional. And you might say, okay, that's a lot of fluffy, tangible, intangible stuff. But the reality is, our mental models and beliefs and mindsets as entrepreneurs are some of the biggest hurdles between us and where we want to be. Chris talks about this one story in the episode about this one entrepreneur that was doing multiple, you know, eight figures, and they kept building and creating fires in their own company. And after he really boiled it down to say to this individual, why are you doing that? You were supposed to be working yourself out of a company, out of your company. And he said, you know what? It's because struggle is the only way to succeed. And then Chris challenged him and said, what if you didn't have to be that person that struggled anymore and still had success? So he and I, in this episode, talk about his background in neuro-linguistic programming, and he's a practitioner of that. He's a seventh degree black belt and a thought leader in personal performance. And Chris takes all of that experience and really helps identify how to eliminate resistance in your life as an entrepreneur and in your vision that you want to accomplish as an individual. I had so much fun because I related to a bunch of the stories that he told about the mental things that we tell ourselves. And one of the things that I think is interesting for you, the listener, is regardless of where you're at in your life as and journey as an entrepreneur, is as you evolve and grow as an individual, your business has the potential to become a prison in your old past that you don't want to be in anymore. And that's where I see people every day leave so much money on the table and so much value because they want to just dump the company and sell it and get rid of it because they want to go off and become that person that they want to become it that's in their head. But starting to be aware of what you want and why before you have that anxiety or you feel that imprisonment is the most important part to being able to engineer the exact outcome that you want. So I highly suggest that this is an episode you listen to. If you're questioning, what are you doing right now? Should I have this company? What should I do next? Are you switching your roles and becoming the quote-unquote visionary or owner in EOS? Have you worked yourself out of the company? Are you trying to figure out what the next stage is for the business? And that's why I highly suggest you reflect, listen to this episode. And if you want to actually put that into practice, check out one of our two-day growth and exit boot camps. We just got done with one in Ohio, which is why my voice is a little raspy. We spent 2 days diving into the five principles, which is, what do you want and why? We have a bunch of exercises that help you identify tangible things that make success for you and make happiness. What are the different ways to value a company, identify your net proceeds, and how to understand the de-risk your company to increase the value of your company and your multiple, understanding all the different exit options and how they impact your valuation, your timing, your role, how long it takes between private equity, ESOPs, third parties, family transitions, identifying value drivers, and how to hire the team. So I highly suggest that if you have 2 days and $5,000, you check out one of our Growth and Exit boot camps because it's potentially life-changing for you and your mindset and what you do with your business and your life going forward. So without further ado, I really hope you enjoy this episode with Chris Yonker.
Sponsored by Arcona's Growth and Exit Boot Camps. 2 days jam-packed with material on the five growth and exit principles and the world of mergers and acquisitions. You'll walk away knowing exactly what steps to take to get your target valuation and your best exit option. 2 days at Arcona's Boot Camp will give you the clarity to control the rest of your journey as an entrepreneur.
Good morning, Chris. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Doing good. I'm excited to have you on the show. We got a couple people in common from the YC crew, so good shout out. And your background, I get a lot of people actually that, you know, with a lot of the podcasting PR teams that are like reaching out, having people on my show. And I saw yours and I went to your website and like, I was super excited because of all the verbiage that you had. And like, you even said the alchemist of creating. Yeah. And I love it. And it's like engineering your ideal life and kind of just teeing it up and is, you know, I talk a lot about the show about creating your ideal life. And as an entrepreneur, the business is such an ingrained part of your identity. And here you are, and you literally created a career out of helping people with this. So maybe just for the audience, kind of give us a little bit of a background of where you came from and what you're doing today.
Sure. So great question. So my trajectory is to actually I come from corporate America, from 3M actually, and hadn't worked there for many, many, many years. And some sales. And I think, you know, if you look at, I mean, kind of sometimes it's easier to see things in the rear view mirror, right? Like kind of looking back and you can kind of like, it's part of, I think it's part of our development and relationship once you have some life experience. And you know, I've been in the working world now for 27 years. So it's not like, you know, so you have that perspective and you look back and you say, okay, well, I think we should all hopefully orientate our lives on our values. And when I look at sales, like freedom is a value that I cherish, having the flexibility. And then also I'm really about building. I believe life is about creating experiences. It's really what we keep, right? We keep the experience that we have, and then, you know, then we get to create new ones. And so I'm looking ongoingly of how can I create the ultimate life experience that's truly aligned with my values. And it's not, you say, well, gee, that sounds like it's a lot about you. Well, not necessarily. It depends what's in my experience, right? What experiences do I want to have? And how do I want to own that? And it comes from a place of what truly drives me as a human being and we could use this word called my truth. I believe our truth comes from intrinsic motivation, not from doing something because you're concerned to how it makes someone look, right? If you look at, and I'm sure you've read the study, and I commonly forget her name, but that this lady years ago was a hospice worker. You're probably familiar with that. And she did the interviews with people on their deathbed, right? And she published it, and it's been, you know, republished many, many times. But I think the most important part of all of it is like, what were these people's, and, you know, looking back in their lives, and what is it that specifically that they wish maybe had been different? Mm-hmm. And how can we learn from that, right? My clients that I'm working with, the same for you, is that they're somewhere typically between 40 and 65, and somewhere, you know, they're not, they can be younger, but that's, you know, in a family business, sure. But the person at the helm, right, the average CEO, like there's a new, in the Harvard Business Review, they just published a new CEO listed an analysis, right? And you look at the ages of those folks, and then so you're looking at if you're mid-40s or mid-50s, you're looking, you know, where am I at and where ultimately am I going? And I don't want to be in that place down the road of going like, gee, I wish something that I realize now I had control of that could have been different, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so how do I generate that? And I think what ended up happening for me is I realized in my career how many people, I became an outlier, and the reason I did is because I wasn't doing something for what everyone else was doing. Like I wanted to generate the best outcomes I could, exceed forecasts as a salesperson, and still create this amazing life experience at the same time, right? And then that was what for me became a tenet. And then I found out I had this natural propensity of mentoring folks and helping them break out of these normal paradigms that come with being in a big company or working in corporate America, because there's a lot of them. And I find that the paradigms that we adopt are ones that are shown in society, and we all kind of like, we don't question it, right?
And they're really hard to get out of.
Yeah, it is, no doubt. Because you have to be conscious enough to know, and then aware enough to see them, right? Right. And we can talk more about that. But there's something that has to happen to unlock that. And so this lady interviewed these folks, and she, you know, one of the things that she documented was the number one thing that people had said is like, you know, I wish I'd made decisions in a way about what I wanted, not looking at this filter of how it was going to impact someone else or what they felt, you know, I should do. And I'm like, wow, how many of us have done that, you know, what's my dad going to say or my mom going to say? And I see this all the time on the succession front with families, in particular with kids, you know, and like, should I take this seat and why? And I'm always like, let me just ask you a question. Would you even be considering this if your dad had owned the business? Like, really? Like, you know, like, would you, like, are you even interested in this? Because sometimes people build businesses to get to an outcome, not because they love what they're doing. I was talking to a client of mine who is part of a family that has a bit of wealth, and he's got a lot of opportunity. And he's like, well, you know, what about this? I'm like, dude, seriously, like, what? I appreciate your drive, but like, let's find something you love and want to do. There's a lot of ways to make money. Mm-hmm. And there's tons of them. So like, it's not about a problem of opportunity, right? But so
how did you get out of corporate America and start doing that though? So like, cause you made the jump to start mentoring with these people. I mean, like in getting into the succession, I mean, it's a grueling, interesting world that you and I live in because of so many dynamics that are involved. So like, why did you decide to take the bull by the horns?
Yeah. So what ended up happening was there's someone I knew who would ask me to coach them. So I started doing that. So then now I'm doing that. And then about 8 years ago, there's a friend of mine who said, hey, you know, he's had a consultant, who's a consulting, and he's serving a small, mid-sized business. And he asked me to start, you know, if I'd be willing to do some engagements with him. And because of my sales background and leadership background, so I just started doing some of that. And then the third thing that I got interested in was neuro-linguistic programming. And so I enrolled working with Marilyn Woodsmall, who are very well known in that arena. And I worked with them for several years and became a practitioner in neurolinguistic programming. And I realized how much behavior drives outcomes.
And can you explain that for the listeners that might not know what that is? I do, because I geek out on this stuff too, but like just in case they don't know what it is.
So yeah, so NLP is basically, it's the science of behavior change. It was built, I don't know, 30, 40 years, you know, years ago. One of the reasons that neurolinguistic programming became popular was because of Anthony Robbins. He worked with my mentor early on. And so it's basically Tony's got, when he's coaching folks, what he's doing is not by accident. Like there's specific things that he's doing. There's methodologies and strategies. And it really comes down to how we unpack our mastery or how someone else unpacks their mastery, and that you can replicate it. And so NLP is about how do you generate an outcome. And actually when I was talking about being aware, that's part of it, right? You have to have clarity in the outcome you want to have. But you also have to have enough, what they call sensory acuity. You have to be aware of what's going on. See, if you think about it, we have five senses. And so these five senses, that's how we take information in, and it's all filtered in our subconscious mind. And then we filter out anything that's not congruent with what we think and believe. So NLP helps you get a deep understanding of what's happening there, and it does, and helps generate behavior change, new outcomes that can happen in regards to how you feel, to what you do, like and what you produce. And so I've leveraged it, and not only for myself, but in just all capacities when working with folks.
Well, it's what I find so interesting, because I absolutely love this stuff. I mean, Tim Ferriss is going into this, and then Michael Pollan, and all these people that are really, how does our mind make up the stories? It's called the default mold network and the frontal cortex, all this stuff without going on, because that's not the premise of this show, but like I could go all the way down to that. But like, what I find interesting, Chris, is that entrepreneurs as a DNA and a personality type have like the story that they build. They're typically visionaries that build this vision and whatever. And I think I'm curious, as you're working with people, like how that vision changes over time as they change. And you had mentioned right before we got on the show that this prison that happens as you're evolving, you kind of just, the vision changes, but then you now have this anchor or this baggage of what you've built. And how do you re-change your mind and evolve your mind as an owner as you change?
Yeah, that's a good, really good, interesting question. So let's look at, you know, the context of all of this. And in fact, part of what your question is, what the reason why I just started doing vision workshops, right? Just get together for a day or a couple days. And then next year we'll be starting launching retreats, but around like, let's unpack your whole life. And like all of
super
it.
Super right? easy, right?
That's yeah. Like, easy. And I, you know, and it's everything from health and wellness to your loving relationships, to parenthood, to your business, to your finances, to your impact on the world and the legacy you want to live, all these things, to also even what your spiritual orientation, because that's a huge paradigm that runs how we make decisions and how we look at life and ourselves and relationship to life. And I mean, the interesting point, and I'm going to answer your question, but I think the interesting point to consider with all this is that these are all illusions, all of them. Every piece of reality is based on some level of an illusion. So if we're choosing these illusions, why not choose illusions that empower us?
That you like.
You know? What's the point of creating an illusion that's disempowering? That's kind of silly, right? Like, so, but we have to really truly accept that's the potential. And I think what ends up happening for folks is, I believe it's all ruled by consciousness, because a consciousness meaning like, what's my level of awareness around all of this, and how am I showing up to that?
Well, isn't this you're so right. I think that like, so the analogy I literally gave in my presentation a couple of days ago is that when you are aware of this stuff, it's almost like when Neo is in the Matrix and he like sees the zeros and ones and he grabs it. And he's like, oh, got it. But like, and you start to realize that like, and explain like, because I think like entrepreneurs, you know, typically see this vision that they're marching towards. And however it came to be, so they're maybe a little bit more aware than the typical, you know, worker or corporate worker. I mean, again, that might be a generalization, but then as that's still an illusion that they created in their head, right? So then, they might change over time without knowing how they decided to come up with that original vision.
No, you're right. And so, in fact, The Matrix, by the way, I wrote a book called Soul Intention, and Matrix is one of the first quotes that the book opens up with.
That's fantastic. Anyway,
So I think what happens is that I create this business, right? And then it becomes, sometimes it's bigger than I expected. Sometimes it's not. It depends on what the person's, you know, what they're, usually it's, they didn't see it going where it does. And it becomes a living, breathing thing,
organism.
Right? And I become part of that living thing. And in some cases, so like if you look at, I believe two of the most important drivers in our operational network in our mind are, how does life work is one of them. Like what's this story called life? Which is a question I like to ask people. Like, well, what is life about anyway? You know, what's your paradigm around that? Why are we here? What's our life experience about? Deep question, really. And then the second one is, who am I? Which are the three most powerful words in the English language. Because what ends up happening for a CEO is I become my business. And oftentimes I lose some of my context of who I am, because now I'm a CEO, or I'm a business leader, or my company needs me. And they end up becoming this glue of this part of this person that's kind of like built into, you know, this, and then now they're part of it. Right. And they're like, so it's almost like they're getting sucked into it. And it's really kind of, you know, really kind of, you know, scary in some cases. Right. And then what ends up happening oftentimes from what I've seen is that I become more and more and more absorbed by it. Right. And part of it. And then I'm still I'm married. So I'm a spouse. So I'm a wife, or I'm a husband. And then I've got, I'm a parent, but there's not enough space maybe for all that. And I'm there, but I'm not. So like, you know, you run into marital issues, you run into, kids that parents weren't around for a lot of their childhood. And, there's actually, I'm I've got a five-year-old. Well, my wife and I are later into the parenthood game, even though we've been together for, we've been married for 24 years, so we've been together for a while. But regardless, the cool thing about that is that I've been having to work with so many family businesses and seeing what can happen when they have older kids. I've been altruistic in our approach in regards to how we want to raise our daughter. And, you know, like I dropped her off this morning at school, like I do every day. And the thing that they're very specific about how I build anchors to that. So anyway, mm-hmm. but going back to your question about the CEO, I think they become part of the organism and that becomes part of the problem, especially when they decide, you know, as you and I both have questions around, like, what's your exit? Like when I'm meeting with people, you know, I'm oftentimes asking like, so what's your exit plan? Like, what do you,
I got another 10 years.
That's a famous
visceral
line.
Reactions, right, Chris? Visceral reactions sometimes because it's like it's not just an exit. It's such a loaded question because are you talking from management responsibilities or from ownership responsibilities or from me, who I am? What about like, it just like, and then it's like complete shutdown mode. And I think what's interesting about what you're talking about is, so in a couple other comments on this. So Kate Spade, when she passed away because she was like, literally there was a whole article written about her and like this whole identity thing of entrepreneurs, she couldn't recreate her previous business. And cause she would like, and I've had so many quotes, Chris, of like one gentleman, he said it was like a surgical procedure to remove the business from me. Like, because like, right. So there are these visceral, like, and very graphic ideas of, so Kate Spade, when then it was in the article, they said that there was an fMRI. So there's brain scan and the entrepreneur that sees a picture of their kids and talks about the business, it literally, it looks the exact same in the entrepreneur's brain.
Oh shit. Really?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Oh. So now you think about
it. Yeah, I could totally see that though. I'm not surprised by it. But
isn't that crazy? But they actually proved it. So this whole like, that's not my baby. Like, no, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
And I had a client say to me, it was his wife, and she goes, "Oh yeah, I've got there's a mistress in our relationship, and it's the business."
Yeah.
So you start to like, this is so, it's not just a thing. It's not just a make believe thing. It's a real thing. And when I'm really curious because I literally went through this too. Is like. And I watched my dad go through it as, okay, so like, and the reason I believe in that happens is because the people you hire, the clients you take on, the problems you're solving, the systems you're implementing, everything is a derivative of you. How you make decisions, it's like this blank canvas that becomes you. So then what happens is like, I'm so excited to hear your response to this, is like, okay, so like, what happens is one day you wake up because you're really, really having fun. You're in the flow. You're totally jiving. And
is this how you do it?
And you're just like, you're just like, and then you wake up and you're just like, you just wake up one day and you're like, screw this shit. And then you become like suffocated. And yet everyone relies on you. Everyone has that make-believe paradigm that you created and you can't.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I watched tragedy happen when that happens.
Yeah. Yeah, well, anything can be navigated, right? But I think what ends up happening, you know, that's probably someone who the level of consciousness kind of running at a lower level. I'm a big David Hawkins guy, Power versus Force. I don't know if you've studied any of his work. Really, really cool.
What's that? David Hawkins?
Yeah, Hawkins. Yeah. Yeah, Dr. Hawkins. Power versus Force. That book was, you know, there's like probably 10 game changing books over my life that I've read. Maybe 20. I'd have a hard time getting it to 10 maybe, but that one would be up there for sure. Really interesting. Really interesting. But you know, it's like, I think my level of awareness, something, cause like here, I'm big about removing resistance, right? Even though I'm a martial artist and studying I'm entering my 35th year of study pretty soon here, studying the same form of karate. So, but I'm big on resistance. Like, okay, in order for resistance to occur, there has to be opposing force, right? And we often create our own opposing internal force. Mm-hmm. And how that happens is, as I start creating a situation where I live incongruent to what I say I value. And one of Wyatt's exercises he would do, and I've adopted with my clients, is like, okay, we go through some clarity in what we say we value. All right, now we got that. The other part of that for me is, it's like, why is that? Because sometimes we end up creating things that we say we value because, this might sound bizarre, but if my love, security, and self-esteem aren't whole internally, mm-hmm. then I'm going to create conditions externally to fill my void.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that if I don't feel that my self-concept's high enough, then I'm going to get significance from solving problems.
Like, and having affirmation from your employees or...
Right. Like, yeah, exactly. I've had CEOs that I literally would create problems in their business if they didn't have them. I'm telling you.
I agree with you.
They could fix them so they could get significance. Mm-hmm. Now, my orientation is like, well, okay, let's fix that. Because really, if you want the ultimate life experience, wouldn't it be nice to remove that fucking burden? Because that's a burden to me. Right? Totally. Like, let's... It doesn't have to be that way. Mm-hmm. What if you became the person who didn't need that? That would be interesting. Then I guess who would you be?
Well, can I give you a little interesting story? That is like, sure. So my dad went through some personal things when in his past, and without giving any too much into the personal story, he created our family business, Chris, to prove to the world that he was worth something. And sure. So it went from $0 to $20 million in 10 years to prove to everybody that he was worth something. The moment that he dealt with the past, he no longer wanted his company.
Isn't that interesting?
And that was the moment that it plateaued. That was the moment he never went back into the office. I mean, it was because he just didn't care anymore.
Right.
Because he fixed what was inside.
Yeah, and it's an interesting challenge though, because I've been down that road with business owners. Is that the law of substitution has to interplay here, where I've got to get a new driver. Mm-hmm. And the problem is that if I've created this driver to get to where I want to go, and then you help me whole and I don't need it anymore, it doesn't mean I don't want to be motivated and sit around in a cave and meditate all the time. Even though sometimes I kind of wonder what that life would look like,
yeah, right.
As a daily meditator. But regardless, we're here to do something. It's just part of how we're set up as human beings. We're developed to grow. Everything in nature is growing, so it's just kind of part of an order of life, I believe. But I had a best-selling author who she was massively miserable, amazing. Lady created awesome success, and it was always about the next bogey. And like, so the next thing, when I was talking to her, like, her next bogey was like, I want to get a plane, and I want to, you know, I have these cars, but I want this car. And I'm like, why? And then I said, do you know why? And she's like, well, no, because she was telling me what answer. I said, that's not why. And she said, why? I said, I know why. And she said, okay. I said, because you're way too focused on what other people think. That's your ego who wants that. Now, granted, I have clients who like love nice cars or nice watches or whatever, but because they don't have them to like show them off.
Because they're nice and they like them.
Because they like it. Right. It has nothing to do with it, right? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally.
And I'm like, I said, if we don't fix the reason you're not happy, you will never be happy until we fix this, ever. It is a hole. You got so many holes in this bucket. You can keep filling it with new goals and new best-selling books and all this, you know, going and the book signings and having all these people throw themselves at you. It's like we had to figure out, well, why am I doing it? Why am I passionate about it? And what's going to drive me? But I have had CEOs that are like, they get to that point, like you said, and the ego starts actually reorientated, and they're like, what the fuck's all this for then?
I don't care.
And they look around like, well, you know what? Well, what? Why does it matter? Why does anything matter? I'm like, well, hey, man, let's go get a big bag of weed then. And let's just smoke away the afternoon. I mean, it's like...
Yeah. It's so... Seriously, Chris, like, so like, I could count probably a dozen times where like people on my show were like, because that's literally what my dad dealt with. And I've watched it personally with clients and the people on the show, where I woke up one day and I felt like there was a noose around my neck. It's because they fixed, or that evolution happened, like you're saying, where they didn't need the affirmation or whatever it was for the business, which, you know, financially leaves an absolute, you know, ton of value on the table, because they just wanted to do a fire sale. They didn't do all this stuff. So then the flip of that is, what I find is so interesting is like, you know, because you and I are living and breathing probably this type of the world, the emotional world most of the time. And then there's the financial like structures and the data of like, okay, like now we have to have these decisions that are made in logic as well. knowing that there's two parallel like world things that need to be solved here, as far as like the motion and then like the financial operations. But what happens is, over the last 5 years since we sold and I've gone through this, I was all in the emotional world like you, just like a lot of the entrepreneurs, and then I've learned the other side of the world of all the finances and the logical stuff. All the advisors, and my partner would hate me for saying all, most that I know, they approach it from the logic. So they're going, CPA is saying, Chris, tell me about this. What's your discounted cash flow? And they're going, dude, I'm so broken inside. Like, I'm not selling this shit because like, I don't know what I do. I hate my marriage. And like, so, you know, whatever it is. So you have like people literally talking from two different sides of the world, and it just doesn't work.
Let's go into that for a second. I'm thinking about the people out listening to us right now. Like, whoa, what are we going with? But let's
go into that. They're used to me, by the way. So,
so this is an interesting topic, though. Like this whole idea, because like, okay, for human beings or spirit, my context is we're spiritual beings having a human experience, and we want to navigate it based upon where we feel pulled to go in a true way that's not aligned with what we think other people want for us. Because we love ourselves and we have security and self-esteem. So, okay, we're the best we can be at this time. And we're conscious. So now what? Well, let's talk about the decision. You just mentioned decisions. Let's talk about the decision-making process. Because how do we, as human beings, we have this gift called choice, right? I mean, my dog's got choice too. Yeah. But regardless, you know, but I have conscious choice. And a lot of times we're not conscious of our choice because we're not paying attention. But,
so true.
Right? But we have these decisions, and we know like there's how many freaking decisions we make in a day. Yep. From like what freaking shirt am I going to wear to I'm going out to dinner tonight and, you know.
Should I have said yes to that person or no to that person? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then how do I navigate? And then there's critical decisions in business. And then, you know, I love information. I'm a big data guy. But I think it's oftentimes there's a data overload, and we should be making decisions with knowing where we're at in reality. Yes, 100%. But then there's also the intuitive side too. But the decision still needs to be aligned, I believe, from where would I want to go and what do I want? How do I want things to look for me, and knowing why and what are my values. And what am I trying to take care of? Like, you know, when you work with a family business, it's like, I care about my people. I care about my family. I care about myself. I care about my employees, when I say people. I care about my customers also. And how do I take care of all those things if I'm going to do a transition? Because any one of those things, it could be in a personal relationship, could be myself, it could be our customers. Any one of those could be at risk. Right. And you had said, you know, you alluded earlier, you know, like that, you know, the person that founds a business, they implant that core value of that business into the business. And if it's going to stay that company and maintain the trajectory, like even McDonald's, who's got a newer CEO, who's been done some pretty, I'm not a big McDonald's eater your fans out there. But regardless, just reading about them the other day in the journal, and they've done some pretty amazing things with their business model. The CEO has, right? But I'm sure he's sticking to still some of the core principles that founder has. So, you know, his question for I'd ask you is like, how do you think people typically navigate decisions in business, and where do they get off track and why?
I think it's maybe some context even before I answer that. So Simon Sinek just came out with a new book called The Infinite Game, which is amazing. So Simon Sinek's book, Infinite Game, and then the Conscious Capitalism book, which I adhere to, which is like, be good for everybody. And like, I think that, so here's what I think is interesting is that founders, and I'm not talking about VC backed or like, you know, like the financial engineers of like business. I'm talking about people that had a good idea, had a vision and wanted to fill a void and prove to themselves and to the world that they could do something, right? So that vision evolves over time, and you have all these people that rely on you. And as you continue to change, you do feel that trap and those decisions. I think you become more and more aware, Chris. It's kind of to your point earlier. So the moment that you kind of become aware, you kind of do the Matrix thing. You go, now I'm here. I've either become aware that I'm, you know, making fires in the business to solve them. How to do that and go through that evolution without burning down the ship, you know what I mean? Yeah. Or like going through, so like, I don't know if like, I think the decisions, are being made based on that original vision. But then as a human being, it normally evolves. So like what happens is you have, and I've personally gone through this because I'm the visionary too, is everybody's trying to keep up with your vision. You know what I mean? So that in EOS traction, they call it entrepreneurial whiplash, right? As you're constantly evolving and changing. So to somehow work on yourself outside of the business and have like a normal relationship would then allow you to more consciously make your own personal decisions, I think.
Yeah.
Because I think, to your point, I don't think there is a process. I think it just happens.
No, it does. But how it happens and who's advising us, like you said, is a really big thing. I know my mentor often says, like, you know, multiple perspectives is one of the key ingredients to driving decision and then creating, you know, outcomes. However, multiple perspectives are not all created equal, right? So mm-hmm. like you just, you can't, they're not. And, you know, in the coaching world, I've seen this where, and I have a hard time, even though I'm like, hey, you know, I'm someone who's mastered sales. I'm someone who has done very well in leadership world. I've done well in organizational health. I've done some amazing work in coaching. And someone's like, oh, well, you're a life coach. And I'm like, I was like, whoa, I don't put me in that. Because like, to me, there could be a paradigm associated with that.
Yep.
Same with consultants, right? It's like, you know, most consultants,
are you Six Sigma, black belt, that's it.
haven't done what they're helping you do. That's one challenge I have with that. It's like I've had operational background. I've come out of that world. So like, I get it. And then, so there's that piece. And then the coaches, there's so many coaches out there and there's some great ones, but a lot of them couldn't coach themselves out of a paper bag. They don't, their lives are a train wreck somewhere. And not to mention, you know, they're broke. So they don't even... It's like, man, yeah. Like you're giving people advice, like you're coaching somebody and telling them what, and I was talking to somebody the other day, I got referred to me and they're working with this coach and he starts talking about all these things they were talking about. And I'm like, he's like, you know, I'm talking about, I'm like, no, I don't. I mean, it was way out in the rings of Saturn. Like the plane's got to land somewhere here on this planet, man. Like these are great ideas, but you know, there's gotta be some level of application, you know?
If you think about like to your point about the all perspectives are different. So when you're that entrepreneur and if you're the listener and you're sitting there going, okay, I'm changing in my soul and in my head and I'm slowly evolving. I think the biggest challenge in this dynamic that I personally went through as well is that, you know, who do you talk to that gets what you're going through, doesn't tell you just get rid of your company, but then like, I think about it like, so like back, you know, so I had 100 employees, VP of sales was a really good friend of mine. CIO was a really good friend of mine. A couple of my salespeople, really good friends of mine. Family, the vendors, you're not going to go and say, hey, I don't really know what to do with this business anymore. You know, I'm kind of different. And then everybody's going, do I have a job? Do I not have a job? Like, so you start to have realized that all the people that you care about rely on you. Right. And then like, you know, it's so isolating. And then then I was part of Vistage or all these, you know, peer groups and they go there. And then my dad used to call it Dr. Phil advice. So in one 15 minute thing, I'm going to say, all right, Chris, here's what's going on. And you're going to go do this. And they're like, there's no context. And so like, you just feel so alone. So where and how do you process that when all advice is not created equal? And you know, you just explain the problem with the coaches and the advisors and all this. It's a really big challenge for owners.
Yeah, I think that's a good question. And I think you should be able to check a few boxes. One is that, does this person know what the hell they're doing? That's a box you got to check. You say, well, how do I know? Well, have they A, produced outcomes from themselves, or B, have they advised other people to create outcomes? And I'm an open book. I transparency is a big value to me. And I know we just talked to someone recently that's going to start with us in January. I'm like, hey, would you like to talk to some of our clients? Yes. I'm like, perfect. No problem. I'll make a couple introductions. Here's some I have in mind. One's in the exact same space you are. And so my point was like, hey, go have a conversation with our current customers. Our past customers. I don't have an issue with that. Because if I can't, and let them tell you what their experience has been. Let them tell you why they're paying the money they are. That's ownership to me, right? Like, so if you're talking to someone, they should be able to have that level of certainty tied to something, right?
What happens when you're asking on the table, right? Right. And then, so, which makes sense, but like, what happens if you're so one of the listeners and owner doesn't know what the outcome is that they're searching for? So
they don't know what they want?
Because they know, like, I give the example, like, they're looking up and they're going, like, maybe the level of consciousness, or you know, rose up a little bit, or their awareness, and they're like, I just don't know what I want, so I don't know what I'm looking for. So then people... Yeah.
All right, so the folks that say, I don't know what I want, I say there's a level of bullshit tied to that. Because, and I think part of the reason is because, this is my philosophy, mm-hmm. is that if I'm not clear on what I want, I mean, there might be some reality to it if I'm... I got to look at who, the frame of who the person is. But, you know, sure, I've met a lot of folks that are in their early 20s. Until you're 24, your brain's not even fully developed anyway. So I would hope maybe you don't know what you want, and that's okay, right? Like, that's cool to me, but I think there's some things you do know you want too. And I think a lot of folks today, and I love the shift. More people today are focused on, it's not about like, hey, I want to be a dentist, or hey, I want to own this business. It's about, I want to create a life experience and figure out a way to resource that. Like, they're not maybe seeing it that way, but there's a lot of that shift going on in regards to corporate America and people entering corporate America, which I think is really cool. I think the Europeans were just in France last month as a family for a good week. And I just love this. You go out to eat, cafe, no one's trying to frickin' turn the table, drive you in, drive you out. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's more people in the moment and just enjoying company and join life instead of just like, go. Next thing, check a box. But the person that, you know, says they don't know what they want, it's like, well, you got to know something. There's got to be something that you know, like there's something you value. And I would ask that person, I'd say, well, is there any part of you that doesn't believe that you're worth it or that you can have it? Like, is that even, because like those are two limiting beliefs that are huge. Right, that can run under they can run under the surface for a lot of us. It comes down to, am I good enough? Am I worth it? Right, that one is a big one for a lot of folks. And the other one is, what's possible? Right, and so those are limitations that could be filtering why saying I don't know what I want, because I'm scared of overcoming those two things. Does that make sense?
It does. And then when you're dealing with that, you have so many people that rely on you. That it, like, the pressure. So it's like it's like dealing with that and being filling a. Oh, I can't remember who, yeah. I interviewed. It was a while ago. We're like giving yourself the time to feel and think about it. Without get it's just hard to create that bubble of like of peace where you can actually think about it without having people just bombard you.
Then yeah. Well, you should hire. You know, I think that person should hire someone or. Maybe create a friend that owns a business that can understand their vantage point, that can listen to them, and not necessarily crawl in your hole with you per se, but to help you feel. I think it's good, right? So there is a level of therapy that's, I think, involved for anybody.
For sure.
I mean, knowingness is not deemed as easy. It's not. I had a client that often said, like, building a successful company is not easy, because if it were, everybody would be doing it. Right?
Yep. And so when you watch someone that's gone through this transition, like, what are things that they successfully do? And then, like, what does the outcome look like usually?
On business transition front?
Yeah, business transition, okay. as they're mentally and, you know, get working themselves out of this. You said, like, they built themselves as prison, you know, yeah. So like getting out of that prison, like, what does that look like? What are the things?
Yeah, that's cool. Like, so you're really, it's a process of self-discovery. You get deeper into, like, who am I? How did I get to where I am? Why? No judgment. But like, what's next for me is, you know, and then what do I truly value, and you see a lot of folks that are looking to transition. Oftentimes they're like a Bill Gates, like, how do I leave a legacy, right? Like, how do I drive something forward and get involved to do that, right? Because if the fact of the matter is, if you built a business, you've got a lot of amazing talent to a degree of something, right? Like, you've got resources that you could help and mentor other folks. You could leverage that at nonprofits. They need the help. Like, there's so many places that you could go. And I think it's a reality of, like, if I'm not, it's not like you don't really have to lose who you are, and who you were was not necessarily tied to what you do. And so there's a reframe that has to happen, that what I do is not who I am. And but that happens even for moms who stay home and raise their kids, and then, and I've seen this happen, and then all of a sudden become empty nesters. So like they're like, holy shit, what am I? What do I do? Who am I? I'm a mom, and I don't have kids. I'm lost.
So interesting, and, Chris. Someone, the guy that was on the show last week or a couple weeks ago, he said retirement's total bullshit. And so when you say, and because it was literally only created like 50 years ago. I mean, like, I think FDR, who created Social Security, didn't even get to the age of using it himself because he died. So like, yeah. So what I find is interesting is like, especially for entrepreneurs that are goal driven. I mean, is there like a process of watching people recreate this new vision that allows them to get out? Cause like this guy named Daniel Mosha, he said, I had to have this new vision that allowed me to swim out of, or break out of that prison. So like, what have you seen that works well for people and how to do that?
Yeah.
So, besides playing golf every day,
It's like almost a whole other podcast, but in essence, what I typically do is I work people through, and I'll just put this out there right now is before I forget. There's the URL that I've set up called greatestyearsofyourlife.com. And you can get a vision workbook since you're asking about that. Someone can opt in for that and get the vision workbook, and then we'll just market the living shit out of you and sell it. Just kidding. yes, it's an opt-in, but we will not do that. So regardless... greatestyearsofyourlife.com I'm doing a workshop next week, and what we're going to do in essence is kind of like, okay, what are my values? What do I believe about myself? We ask some deep questions on that orientation currently. And then let's navigate, let's just sit here and let's go through departments like health and wellness, which is pretty critical first, because if I'm not healthy, doesn't really matter much. Right. So that's a big one to me. So, so we walk through all of it, life experiences, what do I want my relationship with my spouse to look like? All of those things, if you're married or if you're not, that's fine. But like everyone is going to have some level of love and relationship somewhere in their life though. We're driven that way. But there's four stages that need to happen in all these. And the four stages are, getting clarity in what we want, and but then also challenging our beliefs around what that is, right? Mm-hmm. And why that is, so that we can make sure that we're anchored to something that's intrinsic, not externally. And then the other piece is that I got to figure out leverage. Why do I want this? The Simon Sinek star, why? Like, cause that's huge. I've got to have a big, deep enough anchor. And then the fourth one is the strategies, right? Which a lot of people just go to strategies right away, but they're trying to override what's going on internally, right? That friction again. We got to remove the friction so we can. That's my thought. It's like, let's not break through. Fuck breaking through. That means I got to really push. Why don't we just find out what the resistance is and remove it? I don't know. That'd be a lot easier.
Give an example of one of those.
So I'll just say I had a client who basically believed that this was an interesting one. So we were doing a transition. He had built a pretty good business for himself, and he still wanted to be part of it, but he kind of like, I don't want to do this so much. I'm like, work 50, 60, 70 hours a week. I want to be less part of I want to work in the parts of the business I love the most and just pull myself out of the rest. Okay, we totally can do all those things. So we started the process of that. We built some scaffolding around him to support the areas he wasn't going to do anymore, and we worked towards that. And then what ended up happening is that I'd be talking to the other leaders in the leadership team, because I make great relationships with the executive team and I'm working with a company because I have to, because I need to know what's going on. And then some of my check-in calls with some of the other executives are telling me of like how basically this guy's back in these operational meetings. And I'm like, what is he doing? So I'm like, get him on the phone, and I'm like, dude, what's up? Like, I don't like, because they told me like this happened, and then you got involved and things were going well. He's like, and then you start challenging it, and then you start, things kind of got derailed. Like, what's up? Well, no, I just, and he starts going through his whole, they tell me his story. Most stories are bullshit. Like it's his rationalization of why he did. So we started talking about that, and I'm like, let's stop a second. What do you believe? Now, just answer this question. Just forget everything about this. Let's put that all aside. Okay. What do you believe about success? What do you mean? I said, well, if you're going to give a high school talk and you're going to talk about what creates success, what's the key elements of that talk? Well, I tell them, you got to work hard. I'm like, okay, what else? Well, you're going to have to struggle in order to have success. I said, really interesting. I said, so is that a core tenet? Like, struggle is necessary. Absolutely. I said, well, why do you believe that is? He goes, I've never seen it any other way. I said, what part of you enjoys that, out of curiosity? He's like, well, if I struggled, then I feel like I deserve the success. And I'm like, huh, okay, brilliant. So I'm like, here we go, man. Like, this was it on the table. So then, and this guy tried many times to remove himself over the year, hired other folks, whatever, but this was it. Like, I got in there and then I'm like, okay, what if you didn't have to? Well, I wouldn't know how. I didn't ask how. I wanted to know what if. Like, is it possible? Could we go out and find somebody that's built a life with a level of success that doesn't have struggle in it? Yeah, oh yeah, I'm sure we could. Yeah, I'm like, okay. I said, so what if you became the person who didn't have to struggle anymore? He's like, that would be amazing. Oh, I'm like, okay, let's talk about that. So what we did is we started creating a new frame, and then we worked on that piece. And it really kind of honestly was a lot of just a process. Anytime you're looking at a transition, a big component, I haven't said this yet, but the big theme I'm always working on is letting go. And I got to find out where they've tied themselves to what they're not willing to let go. So I can help. Like, for him, I was letting go of that story. And I'm telling you, boom, that transition, that company, and I'm still in contact with them. They just finished last year their best year in the history of the business. And he's not even at the helm.
That's so cool.
He still owns the business.
I wouldn't be surprised, Chris, if that whole dynamic that you just described probably relates to most of the listeners and most entrepreneurs. Like, you have to struggle because you just get used to getting the shit kicked out of you.
And like, dude, I'm a 7th-degree black belt and I hate getting hit. I hate it. I don't like it. I really don't. And I just soon get it over with, you know, and it's just, but that's me, you know, I enjoy that, you know,
because that was such a good response. And, I'm curious on this is, so I saw on your website, you're familiar with the term flow by Mihai Kazhekzhemihai too, right?
Yes,
so
absolutely.
The perfect tension between challenges and skill sets, right?
Yeah.
You're over-challenged, you're anxiety, you're under-challenged, you're bored. I've experienced it. I've had tons of people on the show describe it. How do you recreate that without the business? Or like, how have you seen people do that? Because like, I had one woman, she goes, I miss capitalism. I miss seeing the numbers and seeing the react, because it's feedback too, right? So sitting on a charity board and just playing house or doing golf or retiring is not a thing. So how do you recreate flow when you don't have a business? Because I believe that being an entrepreneur and in a business, you're living in flow like probably 90% of the time, which is like a high. I mean, it could be.
Yeah, it can be, yeah. So
how do you recreate that?
I mean, what flow to me is like, you know, why I started surfing a few years ago, or why part of the reason I studied martial arts, or why we practice, my wife's a yoga practitioner, and so am I, you know, like things that get us out of our head and into our body, where we're absorbed into what's going on, we're conscious and aware, but we're not necessarily dialed in our head, right? You can't be like, you know, thinking things through and necessarily be in a flow state, because flow is, you know, think of like how water moves, right? But that's a process. You can apply it to business, but you can apply it to a lot of things. Mm-hmm. You know, there's an element of inspiration tied to that. That's a critical piece too. And in essence, what I mean, you know, what I've found is that you have to unpack it. You have to unpack what creates your own flow. And then once you have that, now you can figure out, okay, well, where else can I plug it in? Because we can create a story of I have to have, you know, maybe it is you start another business. I'm not saying you shouldn't. Or maybe you help someone else. You become an advisor to someone in a business. I'm not saying, you know, like whatever that is, for those life experiences that you want to drive that generates that flow state. My grandfather, who I haven't talked about yet, but I typically bring him up in interviews, saying he died last year. He was 99, and he died because he just didn't want to live any longer. He was just done. There was no really major health issues he had. 98 years old, still driving around, living at home, doing his thing, playing tennis well into almost probably around 90 anyway. was filming downhill ski, create a lot. But so he retired, think about it. So he retired, like, I don't know, say by that time he was 60. And then away, he started up another business in real estate, and he loved the woods. So he'd buy pieces of land and clear little paths in the woods and then, you know, and then sell them. And then he just did that I inherited a piece of that. I inherited part of that business. Still exists right now. Like, there's not much there, but he winded a bit of it down. But it's just funny, like, that was his thing, right? And he found, like, and he was a very social person. He had deep, meaningful relationships, which is a big piece too, right? If you look at, like, books like from the Blue Zones, where you basically look and study, well, what drives longevity and happiness, right? We want, you know, I think at the end of the day, we all want to be happy. We want to have joy. We want to have peace. So what drives all that? Like, let's really get to the core element of what we're about, mm-hmm. right? It's, flow is important, but I really want to be happy. I want to have joy. I want to have peace. I want to be fulfilled.
Yep.
So if I can do, how do I do those four things, right? And so there is some methodology to that, like having deep, meaningful relationships and taking care of ourselves. You know, whatever it is, something that's tied to purpose is what we're talking about, right? Something that's tied to purpose, we can generate flow, whatever that is, mm-hmm. right? And a business can become that, but we don't want it to become like an addiction, right? Which a lot yeah. of folks it is. Like, I need that, right? Okay, well, let's redirect it then.
Yep.
Like
yep.
a lot of substitution. I got to put something else in its place.
Yeah,
right?
To remove the friction, right?
That's right. That's
when
right.
I think, you know, what you know, all the stuff that you're saying, Chris, is like, it's just a level of awareness to be able to shift the energy, right? Because I mean, you're going to have all that stuff. And if you're getting all those, if the business is feeding all those mechanisms and you don't know how it's feeding it, that's why I believe in Bo Burlingham's thing when he said 75% of the people aren't happy is because they sold the business not knowing, and that's the surgical removal. Like, they didn't know where the business was feeding those different parts, right? So then they're going, I mean, like, then it's all of a sudden you have to recreate that, and there's depression, anxiety, all that stuff afterwards.
Absolutely. Totally agree, man.
This has been absolutely a freaking blast. If you were to go back, because we covered some serious ground. If you were to go back and say, you know, to the listener that, you know, that is, you know, maybe in the thick of it and is not, you know, conscious, or they're looking up for the first time, what is some actionable advice to say, okay, here's how to start, you know, chiseling your way out of that prison or becoming more aware or engineering the life that they want?
Yeah. Well, I guess I'd ask first, like, you know, on a scale 1 to 10, how fulfilled are you? You know, and then answer that about happiness and how much joy and peace do you have? You know, typically goes and just do a self-calibration. Where am I at on 1 to 10? And if I'm not a 7 and above in any of those categories, then why is that? Right. And, you know, and then I would just say, okay, well, where am I stuck? And then reach out to someone, you know, reach out to someone that might, you know, to talk about that, because we get stuck. And what happens, I'm going to close with this idea, is that I'll ask people, like, well, how do you have to be, like, you're happy now? Okay, well, how do you have to be happy? What does that mean? Well, if I'm you tomorrow, like, what are the rules around happiness?
People
think about that, right? Well, in order for me to feel happy, I got to do something for someone else. And then, you know, and then they appreciate it. I'm like, well, that sounds kind of sucky to me. Because you have no control over your own happiness. You've created a rule that says you got to do something and they got to appreciate it. You don't have control over that outcome, if they appreciate it or not. So guess you don't get to be happy today.
That's so
right?
Cool, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So like, what if, you know, what, there is a recipe, there is a process, but we often create rules, and the person out there, you know, that doesn't have fulfillment, there's probably some rules that they've created, or there's definitely a limiting belief that you have that needs to be changed. And your programming needs to be rewired. Your mm-hmm. desire to be successful, your desire to have fun and joy and enjoy life and be fulfilled. And yes, life has ups and downs, but most of it should be good. Most of it should be positive, and it should be, and we should be thankful, because it's a great experience to have. And we should enjoy it.
You deserve it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So the person that says, oh my God, I just want to call you because you sound like you know your shit. What's the best way to get in touch with you?
You can my website, www.chrisyonker.com. So yeah, if someone wanted to get a hold of us, someone on my team would be happy to get back to them and you know, connect. Absolutely. And greatestyearsofyourlife.com is where that vision workbook resides, that you can download and get into if you want to. And also, if you have interest in like attending a future vision workshop or whatever, just you know, obviously reach out to us, get on our list, and we can keep it posted on when, and let us know that you have interest, because we do those typically by invitation only. So yeah,
that's awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I love the work that you're doing. So keep it up.
Thanks so much for tuning into the whole episode. If you made it all the way through, I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope the big takeaway for you was start thinking about what you want and why. What are your big hurdles? What are the things that are holding you back? Reinventing and re-envisioning what the best outcome and the best life that you want for you and your business. What does stage two look like for you? Who is the next person that you want to hand off that baton to? If you want some help understanding what your drivers are and what means success to you, check out one of our Growth and Exit boot camps. They're 2 days, it's $5,000, and you will walk out understanding what's important to you, how companies are valued, how to calculate net proceeds, how to identify and analyze different exit options between employee stock ownership plans or ESOPs, private equity, third-party sales, family transitions, partnership buyouts, how each of them impact your valuation, the money up front versus over time, and your role post-closing, how to identify ways to increase the value of your company in light of your exit option and your core drivers, and then how to hire your team of advisors that gets you where you need to go to optimize that plan. Highly recommend it. Again, 2 days, $5,000, and it's game-changing and life-changing for you, your mindset, and getting you to where you want to go. So that being said, stay tuned in for next week where I interview Gina Wickman and his new book, Entrepreneurial Leap.